Father, we are grateful for tonight. We thank you for your great blessing. The blessing of being alive tonight. The blessing of being in your presence tonight on this last day of the year. That, Lord, you gave us grace and you showed us enough mercy, oh God, to carry us through the year and to bring us to where we are, Lord. We pray and thank you for 2015 and everything that came along with it. And we thank you for the year we're just about to enter. We pray, Lord, that your will be done this year in the name of Jesus. Bless our time together in your word, our last few moments in your word this year. And we pray that this word that has guided us, oh God, I pray that this word will carry us on in the coming year in Jesus' name. Thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, thank you very much for your great singing. Amen. Clap for them again, and you may be seated, please. Wow. Hallelujah. Right. We have just under an hour left of 2015. Amen. And I thank God for, you know, can you fix the sound, please, and get, amen. Right. So we're going into 2016. Wow. Is it not amazing? You know, I remember a long time ago, I heard that there was some program. It was like a United Nations program or something like that to eradicate something by 2020. Wow. And I thought, oh, 2020, that's like, you know. So I can't believe we're already in 2016. Wow. Or nearly in 2016. That means 2020 is just around the corner. So I hope they were able to do what they said they will do. Amen. But like we always do in our church every year, we have a theme. We have something to work on. Amen. In the Lord, we find many good things and we find many graces. Hallelujah. But one of the important things or the wise things to do in life is sometimes to concentrate on something. And when you concentrate on something, you get more out of it. Hallelujah. And anything you concentrate on begins to yield results. It begins to bring you the rewards it holds, which you otherwise wouldn't get if it was not, or if you didn't give it that amount of concentration. Amen. And so we've had different themes. I think in the year that we're just about to end, our theme was our year of serving the Lord. Isn't it? Yeah. Our year of serving the Lord. Ask your neighbor, did you serve the Lord this year? What did they say? Huh? They tried. You tried to serve the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Well, I want to give you something that will help you and which will help to make serving the Lord even easier. Amen. So 2016 in our church is our year of loving God. Wow. Amen. Amen. It is our year of loving my God. God. Hallelujah. It is our year of loving God. And I believe that it is a new place that the Lord is drawing our attention to as a church. Hallelujah. That there are many people who know the Lord, but who do not love the Lord. You know, because loving the Lord is not the same as knowing the Lord. Hallelujah. And there are many people who know the Lord, but whether they love the Lord is another thing altogether. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about serving the Lord. Do you understand? Yeah. Serving the Lord is not the same as loving the Lord.
Wow.
You can serve someone you don't love. You see what I'm saying? Even though loving the Lord can make you serve Him, you don't love Him just because you serve Him.
Wow.
You can't claim to love God just because you serve Him. Even though when you love God, one of the things you will do is to serve Him. Hallelujah. So it's a very important place we have come to as a church. And I believe that as we focus on loving God, as you as an individual begins to focus on loving God in this coming year, you're going to see many great rewards and many great blessings in your life because you love God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, in the book of Matthew, let me share with you from Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. You know, Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Perhaps we can even start from, just go back a little bit. Go to Matthew chapter 22 and let's start from verse 35. It says, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? You know, the sound, there's some funny something that's chasing me. Hallelujah. Yeah. It says, one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? You know, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Hallelujah. Jesus did him a favor and went on to talk about the second. Said, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. They hang all the law and the prophets. Hallelujah. In other words, the whole of the law is about this. The whole purpose of the law, or the whole purpose of every instruction. And by the law, they were referring to the Ten Commandments. They were referring to, you know, what they had been given to live by, what they had been given to obey. And Jesus was saying that the whole purpose of the law is just to get you to this place, that you would love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Hallelujah. This is from Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came from heaven. Jesus Christ is actually God. Or if you like, a piece of God. Do you understand? Because He's the Son in the Godhead. You know, the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, isn't it? So Jesus Christ is God the Son. Hallelujah. And God the Son came to tell us that really, out of everything that a Christian or a follower of Christ or one who claims to serve God, out of all the things that we have to do, he was showing us the most important thing. Hallelujah. Because everything may be classified or categorized as important. And I mean, in everything, there are some things that are important, but there are some things that are the heart of everything. Are you following what I'm saying? See, like a human body, every part of you is important. You know, perhaps there are no useless parts of the human body. Every part of you is important. But you see, when you start to lose your hair, you still live. Are you following what I'm saying? So then you may ask then that if you could live without your hair, why do you even have to have it? But it must, I mean, for ladies, it's a major problem. Do you understand? I mean, and you see what I'm saying? It's a major problem. So think about all the trouble that would have been saved if no hair grew on your head at all. But the hair is an important accessory. Do you understand? That God has added to our lives. But when you lose it, it doesn't really change anything. I mean, most of us guys actually do expect to lose it. One time I spoke to a brother, and he had allowed his hair to grow and grow. And I was asking him, why are you doing this? He said, well, I'm trying to enjoy it while it lasts. Yeah, he said, I'm trying to enjoy it while it lasts, because I know a day is going to come when it's not going to be there anymore. Even if you try to make it be there, it just won't be there. Do you see what I'm saying? So, you obviously, that is not the most important part of the human being. Even our other body parts, there are people who live without a limb. You know, when people are in an accident or something, sometimes to save their lives, they amputate a part of their body and they still live. You know, I once saw a man who has actually lost his jaw. Like, this whole part of his body is not even there, but he's still alive. Do you understand? But I'm yet to meet anybody who has had his heart amputated. You're sick and the disease calls for an amputation of your heart. Now let's take the heart out and leave him without a heart. Do you understand? Now you hit something that is very important. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Jesus was trying to, or I believe the question the man asked, you know, he was trying to get Jesus, you know, to bring out what is the most important, what is the core of what God requires of us. What is the most important thing that God wants from a person? And Jesus answered, I'm God. Do you understand? And I'm telling you what I'm looking for. Hallelujah. And he said that it is not that you will sing for me. It is not that you will go places for me. It is not that you will even say you know me. It's not that you will belong to a church. I mean, some people feel that once you belong to a church, that is it. You know? It is not that you do good per se. Do you understand? Because you will soon find that you can't be good enough. Do you understand? So what is it that God requires of you? And Jesus said, look, all that God requires, the most important thing that you must work on is that you will love the Lord with all your heart. And he said, with all your heart. Let me read it again. With all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. All your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. That means God is calling for a very intense relationship with him. Amen. God is requiring from us a very intense love relationship. He said, I want you to love me, and I want you to do it with all your heart. All your heart. All your heart. Not some of it. Not 65% of it. Not 85%. Not 95%. I want 100% of your heart to belong to me. Hallelujah. Amen. And then he said, with all your soul. Your soul has to do with the part of you that sort of interacts with the world. That's where your feelings belong. It is within the realm of your soul that you feel pain, that you feel disappointment, that you cry, that you laugh, and so on. It's the part of you that sort of, you know, relates. Do you understand? And Jesus said, I want you to love me with that also. I want you to love with me with your feelings. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. Your emotions. I want you to love me with your emotions. Yeah. Recently, I heard somebody saying that, you know, when they have their wedding, she said, when the husband is coming, you know, she wants him to cry. Do you understand that? Yeah. She said, I want to see you crying. I mean, when it's my wedding. And he said, no, it's not the husband coming. When the husband would be already at the church. So he said, when she, the bride, is walking in, I want to see tears in your eyes. She even said, I don't care if you fake it. I just need to see it. Yeah. You see, what she's calling for is loving me with your soul. I want you to love me to the point where it provokes and stirs up tears in your eyes. Except that in her case, she said, I don't care if you fake it. But God cares if you fake it. God wants you to love him genuinely with your soul. Can I have an amen? Amen? Look, we need to go back to the days when we used to cry in the presence of God. Amen. Amen. It's okay to cry in the house of God and cry in the presence of God. Cry in your private times of prayer. I mean, these days we have become too stiff. Oh, yes. Nothing moves us. We have become so hard. I mean, God cannot seem to get our attention. You see, and our soft and tender parts don't belong to him anymore. It's a shame how we give them to people. It is because you love someone with your soul that they can hurt you. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because you have exposed a certain tender part of you to the person. When they step on it in a certain way, it begins to hurt you. Hallelujah. And God says, you need to love me with your soul. This is the whole duty. This is what God wants. Not an offering. Amen. Not an offering, not anything. Just love me with your soul. If you can love me with your soul. Then he said, with all thy mind. That speaks of attention. Pay attention. Wow. Have you ever tried to talk to someone who seems to be thinking about something else? Yeah, you are talking to the person, you know, but you feel like he's thinking about somebody else. Or is thinking about something else. Isn't it? Prosper, is that familiar? Yeah. Yeah. It's frustrating, right? Oh. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's like you have the person's body, but you don't have their mind. You have their physical presence. He's in your house, but his mind is somewhere else. And God says, I want your attention. I want you to love me with your mind as well. Hallelujah. Amen. And the mind is important for more than just attention. is also the mind and its products, what the mind produces. So I want you to love me with your creativity. I want you to love me with your thoughts. I want you to love me with your ideas. I want you to love me with the use of your mind. Amen. Love me with your education. Love me with your intelligence. Your ability to think and to process and to do things with your mind. He says, I want that also. This is the great, first and great commandment. Then he went to explain that everything else I've asked you to do is actually hanging on this. This, it's falling from this. This is what is making me ask you to do anything else I've asked you to do. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So this year, 2016, is going to be an intense year of loving God. Hallelujah. God is calling upon us not just to profess to know Him, not just to claim to serve Him, not just to go around, you know, identifying with Him, but God wants you to love Him. God wants you to love Him with all your heart. Hallelujah. God wants you to genuinely love Him. And when you love God, it's going to make a huge difference in your life. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, this year I'm going to love God. Tell them, this year I'm going to work on loving God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you going to work on loving God?
Yes.
Are you going to work on loving God?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Look at the Ten Commandments. Look at the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are 10 instructions, top 10 things to do. Do you understand? In relating with God. And you see that the Ten Commandments have 5 of them that have to do with God, and then 5 of them that have to do with people. Have to do with your relationship with other human beings. So the first one, in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Then he says, thou shalt have no gods before me. Thou shalt have no gods before me. I mean, that's rule number one in loving anybody. Thou shalt have no other person like me before me.
Wow.
That is it. Because he's God, he says, thou shalt have no God before you. But every beloved, rule number one, I mean, thou shalt have no beloved before me. I mean, Zola, isn't that the rule number one? It's that's how it is. Hallelujah.
Wow.
Yeah. Thou shalt have no other before me. No other before me. So God is, see, God is trying to show us that if you love me, one of the things you do is that I will be your God and I alone,
amen,
not anybody else. I don't want to share with anybody.
Wow.
Hallelujah. So sometimes you wonder where you get that, you know, instinct from. In fact, one time I was just wondering and just thinking, I mean, why is it that when you love somebody, they feel that you must love only them? Do you see? And then later I was reading this verse and I sort of thought that maybe the Bible says we are made in His image after His likeness. Do you understand? We probably get that from God. Do you understand? It's one of the things that God wants us to love just Him. Amen. It says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. It says, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down to them, bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. That means I don't like you serving me and serving somebody else. Do you understand? I don't want you bowing to me and bowing to others also, because I'm a jealous God. I can't take it. Hallelujah. I can't take it. I don't like that. I don't want you to sing to me and sing to somebody else. I don't want you to dance for me and dance for somebody else. I want to be the sole proprietor of your emotions and your abilities. I want to be the sole object of your love. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you see that it's all about loving God? Yeah. Verse 5, thou shalt not bow thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord, am a jealous God. Verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Verse 7, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So he's saying that don't misuse, you know, don't abuse my name. Hallelujah. Don't abuse my name. If you love me, my name will mean a lot to you. See, often when one of the signs of love is the development of pet names, isn't it? So, I mean, somehow naming is somewhere within the arena of love. It's one of the ways you show someone you love them, is by what name you call them. Do you see what I'm saying? So you see people have names, but they call them honey. You see sometimes a grown-up woman and she's being called baby, you know. It's not because she's a baby. Do you see what I'm saying? But it is the love. It is the love that is provoking that. Do you see what I'm saying? Right. So he says, don't take my name in vain. I mean, don't throw my name around as though it means nothing if you love me. Hallelujah. And then another one is, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You know, make it special. It's my day. Make it special. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you realize when you're in love with someone, they want you to make their birthday special? Yeah. Some people don't even want you to go to work because it's their birthday. Say, what? Did you take the day off? So, no, I have to work. You don't love me. You don't love me. That's why you have to work on my birthday. You know, of all the days, you could have taken the day off, but you didn't take the day off. You know, it's like, because it's my birthday, it must be your Sabbath. And it is required to prove love. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Paul, it's not an easy road, but you make it. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, my birthday must be your Sabbath. So you must make it special. So God also was telling them, I mean, if you love me, you will have a day that is my day. You will have a day that you will not use for anything else. Do you understand? Look at it. It says that, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger, which is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Hallelujah. Sounds like a beloved talking. You've been working all week from Monday to Thursday. Only today is my day. You have to keep it for me. Do you see what I'm saying? So God is showing us that it's all about loving him. Amen. Then you see the other half. The other half has to do with people. Honor thy father and thy mother, so that your days will be long. So that's why he said, the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, and starting with your father and mother. Your first neighbors, your father and your mother. Hallelujah. So that's the first thing. You must honor them. You must love them. Honor your father and the mother, so that your days will be long. So that your days will be long. Hallelujah. Because a father and a mother are symbols of life. Do you understand? When someone says, where is your mother? They're asking, who gave birth to you? Isn't it? Who gave you life? When someone asks you, where is your father? They're asking, who provides for you? Who is your provider? So the combination of you, the two, represent life. That's what parents have to give. Amen. And so the Bible says, when you honor them, they give you what they have. Anything you honor gives you what it offers, isn't it? When you honor it and you respect it and you celebrate it, it continues to give you what it was designed to give. That's why the Bible says, if you honor your father and mother, your days will be long, because they gave you days to start with. But if you honor your father and mother, you will have more of those days. It's a spiritual principle and a spiritual blessing that comes to you for honoring your parents. Can I have an amen? Then it goes on, thou shalt not kill. Still has to do with your neighbor, isn't it? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Adultery hurts your neighbor, isn't it? And thou shalt not steal. Your neighbor doesn't like that. Neighbors don't like neighbors who steal from them, isn't it? Thou shalt not bear false witness. Still has to do with your neighbor. And then you must not covet your neighbor's house. Your neighbor doesn't like it when you stand in front of your house every time looking at his house and stretching your neck and just gossiping about his new car or gossiping about his new this or that, and talking about, you know, what they have in their house, what they don't have in their house, and saying that they got it from the bank, it's a loan, they don't have anything, all these things. Don't make such comments. Hallelujah. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, nor thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Hallelujah. So Jesus properly summarized these Ten Commandments when he said, upon these two things hang the whole law. Hallelujah. As you focus on loving God, in that one goal of loving God in 2016, you will fulfill at least the first half of the Ten Commandments. Can I have an amen? Amen. You will fulfill at least the first half of the Ten Commandments, and that will be a blessing to you. Hallelujah. Now let me share with you very quickly certain blessings that belong only to those who love God. Hallelujah. Number one is supernatural power. Supernatural power at work in your life just because you love God. Hallelujah. It says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. Now this verse is an especially important one, especially as we go into a new year. Hallelujah. I could stand here and just say to you, this year is your year. But I don't know what power I have to just assign a year that I have not made and just give it to you and say, this is your year. Hallelujah. You know, I saw a photograph, someone sent me a photograph of someone sitting outside a church with a knife. And the person was waiting for the pastor. He said, I'm waiting for the prophet or the man of God who said this year was my year. And the person was actually naked. I mean, it's like the year had not gone well at all. And even the clothes he started the year with, he had lost them. So now he was waiting for the pastor who said the year was his year. Hallelujah. But listen, in this verse right here, God is giving us the key that will make every year your year. That will not matter, or that will leave you not having to worry about what happens in the year. Because a year is a long time and many things do happen. Hallelujah. As we go into 2016, I mean, one of the things I always dread is when we enter a new year, I always dread, you know, what is the first bad news I'm going to hear? What is the first piece of bad news? Do you understand? And in the year just gone, I remember, I think it was Andrew Crouch who passed away just within the first few days of the year. And I said, oh, wow, you know, so many different things happen because a year is another block of days, 365 of them, and a lot is bound to happen. But God is showing us in this verse that if your heart is of a certain disposition in relation to Him, your concern must not be for what really happens, because it doesn't really matter what happens. The Bible says we know that all things work together for good. All things work together for good. Listen, if you know that the outcome ultimately will be good, I don't think you care much about what really is happening. If you know that in the end, it will be good. Do you understand? Like I was sharing with you last Sunday how, you know, sometimes I like to watch the end of a movie before I start. Do you see? I like to see how it ended. And when I see the end of the movie and I see that the hero is still alive and I see that things look good, you know, I am more relaxed when I'm watching the actual movie. Do you understand? I'm more relaxed. And why do you think I'm relaxed? I'm relaxed because I'm not really moved by all the things happening. But it's a movie. It's been designed to create suspense. It's been designed to ride your emotions, take it up and take it down. I just don't like the idea of someone just holding, like it's like a dimmer button on my emotions and turning it right up and bringing it back down and up. And no, I don't want to do that. So I like to see the end, do you see, before the beginning. And when I see the end and I'm assured that everything is okay, I can take the ride. I mean, and we can flow along and just go. Hallelujah. Now, when you know that in the end it will be good, when you know that in the end it will be good. Look, if you went to an interview, you know, and sometimes the interviews are just set up, you know, just for formality. Sometimes someone you know has told the interview, this person is my man. Please hire him. Yeah. Then they say, oh, we'll take him. Let him send a resume. Sometimes I even wonder why do they say let him apply. Do you understand? Because the whole job has been fixed. Everything is set up already. Someone, even they are not even hiring. But because someone they know has recommended you, they have decided to take you. But still they say you should apply. So you understand that that application is just a formality. Then you go to the interview and this other person shows up. He's asking all the difficult questions. And you know that you have nothing to worry about. You do have the job. Amen. And that is it. Amen. You see, you do have the job. So it doesn't matter how the interview goes, whether it went well or didn't go well, does not change anything. You know that in the end, you got the job. Hallelujah. Amen. This scripture is saying that all things work together for good. All things work together for good. If you love God. So if I were you, I would work on my love instead of working on the things. Because we don't always control the things. But unfortunately, many times we leave our love and rather work on the things. We work on having good experiences. We work on having good favor, having good connections. I mean, we try to keep good things in our lives all the time. And mostly we're not successful because not everything depends on you. A lot of things that go on in your life actually don't depend on you. Even good things. The Bible says, if you are not faithful in that which is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? Can you imagine that it is your own? But it's with somebody else. Somebody has to give it to you. If it has to be given to you, it means it's not with you. Isn't it? And yet it's your own. So some things that belong to you actually are with others. Some blessings, some favors, some connections, some open doors that belong to your life actually are with others. It is yours. It is yours. It is yours. But it takes more than owning it to get to experience it. It takes more than the fact that it exists in your name to get to experience it. It is yours, but someone has to give you the keys to it. Someone has to activate the button that works it for you. Someone has to do something about it for you to begin to experience it and for you to begin to enjoy it. So a lot of things actually don't depend on you. They depend on others. And once something is in the hand of another person, it means you are very limited in your influence over that thing. It really depends on what they do. It does not depend on what you do. But the Bible says, if you love God, it activates a supernatural power that seems to sort of rope every experience and everything in and create only one ultimate outcome, which is good all the time. Are you understanding what I'm saying? He says, if you love God, everything, whether the thing is good or bad, will work out for your good. There is only one outcome for those who love God, and that is that all things will work together for your good. Hallelujah. That's why I'm saying that if you have to manipulate anything, if you have to work on anything, work on what you control, which is your love for God. Don't work on the things, because you can't fix the things. You can't set the things up. You can't predict how someone is going to behave. You cannot predict how another person is going to behave. You can only predict how you respond to what they do. Do you understand? Because the only person you control is you. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you in this coming year, develop your love for God. Because it will work, cause all things. It will release supernatural power that will make all things work together for your good. Can I have an amen? Amen. All things. He says, and we know. So it's not a matter of debate at all. He says, we know, we are assured that all things work together for good to them that love God. If I were you, I would love God. If I were you, I would love God. I'm sure you had some unfortunate experiences in 2015. How many remember some painful days in 2015? Yeah. You didn't know they were coming. If you knew they were coming, you would have done everything you could have done to avoid them. But you didn't know they were coming. But God is showing us tonight that as we step into this new year, what you can do, Maureen, is to love God. If you can work on your love for God, it does not matter what they throw at you. It does not matter. You can't really control everything. Do you understand? So forget about trying to control everything. Otherwise, you're going to live a very stressful life. You're going to live a life of anxiety always. You will always be anxious. You will always wonder, what's happening next? What am I going to do? But if you love God, He will cause everything to work out for your good because you love Him. Can I have an amen? Right. Number two blessing that God has reserved for people, exclusively for people who love Him. Number two is manifestations of His power. Manifestations of His power in your life. John chapter 14 and verse 21. It says, He that hath my commandments, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Did you see that? Yeah. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell somebody, switch and become a God lover. Hallelujah. He says that, you know, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Do you understand? And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I will manifest. Manifestations of the power of God belongs in the coming year to those who love him. Hallelujah. He says, I will manifest myself. I will manifest myself. You're going to experience manifestation. A manifestation is a display. Do you understand? A manifestation is a display. When something is manifesting, that thing is beginning to display. It is beginning to sort of expose itself and beginning to open itself up. Hallelujah. It's coming out of obscurity and is becoming visible and is becoming clear. And God says that if you love me, I will manifest myself to you. I will show you my power. You're going to see the power of God at work in your life. You're going to have miracles. You're going to have testimonies. You're going to see shocking things turn around in your favor. You will not even believe it's happening, but it will be your story. Hallelujah. You will not even believe it. You won't believe it's happening. But God says, because you love me, he says, I will manifest myself unto him because I love him. He loves me, so I love him. He loves me, so I love him. He that loves me will be loved by my Father. Often when you're nice to people's kids, their parents love you. Is it not true? When you're nice to people's kids, their parents love you. When you're mean to people's kids, the parents also look for opportunities to be mean to you. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, anyone who loves me, my Papa will love the person. And I will love him too. I will love him too. I mean, imagine Jesus saying, I love you. That's different from John 3:16. John 3:16 is God so loved the world. It's a general goodwill for the world. But Jesus said, now let's take it to the personal level. He said, if you love me, I will love you and I will manifest myself to you. God will take every opportunity to show himself to you. God will show you his power. You will have a life of testimonies. You are going to have stories, unbelievable stories. People are going to wonder, why do you always have these fantastic stories? They're going, when you start talking, they'll say, wow, the storyteller has started. They will wonder, how come your life is filled? They will say your life is intriguing. They will say your life is full of adventure. You seem to have an interesting life. There are some people, their lives are just bland and flat. You know, there's no spice in your life. Do you understand? There's no adventure. There's nothing exciting. It's just one flat line just running itself across. A very predictable life. You know, you can predict the end from the beginning. I mean, December 25th or December 31st of 2016 is very predictable for you because your life, it doesn't have any adventures in it. But Jesus said, I will manifest myself to you. And the manifestations of God in your life is going to create stories, miracles. You're going to tell fantastic stories of the provision of God. How God showed himself, how God showed up in times of sickness, in times of insufficiency, in times of lack, and in times of trouble. How God showed up, because God said, I will manifest myself to you. Yes. You're going to have dreams of significance. You're going to see visions because Jesus is manifesting himself to you. Hallelujah. Yeah, he's revealing himself to you. He's not ashamed of you. When you're around or when you're around, he likes to come around. He likes to show up when you're doing things. Yeah, he likes to show up when you're doing things. You know, when you have a friend who likes you, they show up at your events. Is it not true? If you have a friend who really likes you, they don't even have to be invited. They just have to hear that it's your birthday and they show up. They say, we don't need an invitation. We just came. They hear that you had a baby. They just show up. They just can't stay. They just show up. They hear that you suffered a loss in some family member or something like that. They just show up because they love you. Hallelujah. And they show up. I see God showing up in your life this year. I see God showing up, manifesting himself. He will manifest at all the events of your life. Expect God to attend that interview with you. Expect God to show up in your times of trouble. In the times of difficulty, when your back is to the wall and you don't know where to turn and you don't know what to do. Have you ever been there before where you didn't know what to do? Because every option is bad. To the left is bad. To the right is bad. You go down is bad. You go up is bad. If you go forward, it's worse. And as for back is out. That's where you need the Lord to manifest. He will show up. He will show up. He will manifest. They put three guys in a furnace of fire. But the guy who put them in there was looking at them and said, somebody count. How many guys did we put in the fire? They said three. Said, somebody help me count. You know, get my glasses. You know, then he just took off his contact lenses. You know, the king just removed his contacts. Said, these contacts are deceiving me. He says, let's go the good old way. And he got his glasses and he said, look, give me the biggest lenses because I don't believe what I'm seeing. I don't believe what I'm seeing. Because the fourth man was God manifesting himself to people who had been taken by trouble. God will show up. God will show up. God will show up. When your car begins to skid, God will show up. Yeah, you're going to wonder who took me out of this. Because he promised that because of your love for me, I will manifest myself to you. Do you believe these things? Do you believe these things? Expect God's manifestation. And another thing, number three, that we shouldn't miss over there, it says, he shall be loved of by my Father. Oh, strive for that. Let it be said of you that God really loves you. That God really likes you. Do you understand? See, the word love is one of those words that is sometimes overused. These days, you have to use a different word if you want to really show how much you love someone. It almost feels like when you say, I really like this person, it feels stronger than when you say, I really love this person. Try it. Think about someone you really like. Say, I really like this person. I really like this person. Do you understand? Imagine what Jesus is saying is that God will really like you. That he that loveth me, God will really like you. God will really like you. Colby, how would you like it when God says of you, I really like this guy. I really like this guy. When God likes you, it means he's leaning in your favor. Things are in your favor. And he says that if you love me, that's what's going to happen. Can I have an amen? Amen. Expect great things from God as you love him. And then finally for tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. You can expect an extraordinary life full of extraordinary experiences. It says in verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. So, for loving God, he says you can expect things in your life that eyes have not seen. Expect your story to be different. Amen. Expect that your case is extraordinarily different. Expect that your testimony would be like no other. That your story would not be the same as the others. Because eye has not seen and ears have not heard. That when it comes to you, ears have not heard before what is happening in your life. Ears have not heard what the Lord has done for you. Hallelujah. Expect it. God is going to bless you with it. He says, I have not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for people who love him. I want to suggest to you, Levi, in 2016, make it your aim to love God. Be intentional about loving God. Pray about loving God. Pray that God will touch your heart to love Him. Because it's a spiritual thing. To love somebody, that kind of attraction is a spiritual thing. And the Bible does teach that in the last days it will be difficult. The Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. It says, perilous times shall come, and one of the things people will do, people will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. It will be easier to choose pleasure than to choose loving God. So we all need supernatural help. We need God to help us to touch our hearts to love Him. In a world where there's so many things competing for our love and our affection and our attention, especially money and worldly gain, you know, worldly things trying to get our attention in a world like that, you need supernatural help. Hallelujah. You need supernatural help to be able to engage your heart in the love of God. But I know that God is going to do that for you. I said God will do that for you. God will do that for you. Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. This is our year of loving the Lord. Stand to your feet with me tonight as we step and cross over into 2016. I want you to enter this year a changed man, a different man, a different person. A person whose heart is set to love God. Your aim is to love God. To love God. To love God. I know you love your job. I know you love your husband. You love your wife. You love your children. You love so many things in your life. But this year, God is cutting the line and going all the way to the top right now. Because you're going to replace everything with God and put your love for God right at the top.